The reading this morning is taken from 2 Timothy 2, and it's verses 8 to 15, so a couple more verses than are on the new sheet. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarrelling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, thank you and good morning. It is a real joy to share God's word with you here today and to accept this invitation to come and preach in this week of Prayer of Christian Unity. I don't know how many of you know me. I'm the minister at Elvid Avenue. I've only been there since July, and this is my first ministry. So I was ordained in July, having spent 4 years training for ministry at Westminster College in Cambridge. And I bring with me this morning greetings from Elvid Avenue, and they offer God's blessing upon you. Let us just pray. Father God, we have heard read this morning your words, your gift to us this day. May we find in it the words we need to get us on our way. Amen. Just sometimes, I'm sure all of us read a text in our Bibles that strike chords with us, whoever we are and wherever we are on that day. Great passages, often just a few short verses, can enlighten and delight us, show us something about what it is to be a faithful member of God's community, and open up a whole new thought process as we journey in our faith and strive to be the people that God calls us to be. And so, I believe here in Timothy, we find a great passage of encouragement, but one that places a great deal of emphasis on suffering and the struggle and its balance with hope for the future. For I'm sure we know that anyone who hopes that a life in Christ will be one free from suffering knows that that can't possibly be so. And here in these verses from the letter to Timothy, written possibly by Paul, but certainly drawing on Paul's life experiences, we find words that are written to encourage, to sustain, to warn, and to challenge. And it is my belief that they are just as relevant for us today as they were for those who heard it for the first time. For any teaching that suggests that we are spared suffering and struggles in the name of Christ are, I think, false teachings. This section of the letter is a call to remember. Remember those fundamental things of faith that sustain us, as well as they sustained those earlier followers of Christ. By remembering, we are called to go back to the basic tenet of faith. Here it is Timothy, who's being encouraged to think and to remember. he's encouraged to remember Jesus Christ, his death, and his resurrection. He's encouraged to remember the divinity of Christ, the one who was raised from the dead into the resurrection, and also the human Christ, who descended from David and lived on earth. Perhaps Timothy was being troubled by those at the time who had great difficulty in believing that Christ could be both human and divine. Something that I think a lot of people still struggle with today. There were many people who disputed that God in Christ became human, flesh of our flesh and bone of our bones. The Christ, who experienced life in all its richness and fullness, which included suffering and struggles. We see that in the death of his close friend Lazarus. We know that he lived in occupied territory, political systems crashing around him. Nothing was safe. Nothing was reliable. Life, as life is for many people today in the 21st century, as we struggle to make ends meet, to live within our means, both as a nation and as individuals. Life can be tough. Life is tough for many people, and it was then. Paul writes to encourage Timothy to re-enter into the struggles of life in the power of the Holy Spirit, to concentrate on Jesus Christ and his resurrection, is to keep strong the hope of future victory. To be willing to take on the struggles for the sake of others. To find oneself chained, imprisoned for one's belief in this Jesus Christ. So that all may obtain salvation is indeed a powerful call. I'm sure all of us here this morning have known some suffering in our lives. Death or serious illness of a loved one, divorce, broken relationships, financial hardships, unemployment, time of ill health ourselves. Whatever the personal sufferings and disappointments that we've experienced, they become a part of us. We carry the scars of these battles within us. In some, they're buried deep into our own private spaces. In others, they are visible signs about a person. Tears rolling down someone's face. Bruises that show hardship. Marks not only caused by another's fists, but by the emotional anguish that many of us experience at some point in our lives. Paul encourages us, as he encouraged Timothy, to be strengthened by these times. To see them in light of Christ's suffering on the cross and to enjoy and believe that those of us, all of us, who remain faithful to the gospel, share therefore in the suffering of Christ and will share in the promise of glorious resurrection of eternal life. Our lives can and will be changed by those many experiences that we endure and sometimes enjoy. Many around this world suffer to take the gospel to those who've not heard it. God's word, through the courage and commitment of these people, is not chained. All of us here are called in some way or other to preach the word of God. It is our duty, our calling, to ensure that God's word is never changed. It is our duty and that of local churches to stand up and ensure that the word made flesh is celebrated. And the story is told so that all who hear it may know the truth and what that means. In this week of prayer for Christian unity, it's good that we can come together and share together. To make a visible sign that even though Some churches are declining in numbers. We have different views, different ideas on some aspects of our faith. We can still stand together in the strength of God and as witnesses of His light in the darkness. We, as the elect people of God, must accept the call and take on the responsibilities placed upon us. For if we do not tell that message, how is it that God's word is then not chained? How will they ever know? And how can God's kingdom grow if we do not take on that responsibility for ourselves? One of the commentators on this passage wrote, "Through the preaching of the gospel, and only through this means, may people come to know Jesus Christ, in whom alone is our salvation." God's rescue from sin results in eternal life. What a responsibility it is for us to carry that truth and to take it out. But it is a truth that has excited all of us enough to come to this place this morning to explore together as followers of Christ how best we can break open that word. The hymn that is contained in the text that Richard wrote for us was probably well known to Timothy and his community. It drew them and it draws us to reflect on the importance of our life today in relation to the life to come. At our baptisms, we were identified by our parents or by ourselves in adult baptism as being with Christ in his death. Because we died with him, then so we shall live with him. We have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we receive too the promise of eternal life. If we endure, if we take our sufferings and live within them, enduring all this life has to offer, that through sin we are suffering people, faced with many problems and issues to challenge and distract us. But if we endure these things, we are promised that we will also reign with him. It says that if we deny, or I think the text we had written said disown him, he will deny us also. But to deny here, I suggest, means not to walk away, but to actually never have known. So many people out in this world have not ever known Jesus Christ. But we do. And we have taken him to be our Lord and Saviour. But in this hymn, it's humanity, it's the likes of you and me who are the instigators of a break in relationship. It is never, ever Christ. We must deny Christ first, for he does not and never will deny you and me. If we are faithless, that is, having known Christ but not living according to his will, not declaring him to be Saviour and Lord, but turning instead to the other gods, finance, shopping, football, whatever it is that takes you away from your God, then he remains still faithful to us. It is us, in our human weakness and frailty, that separates us from Christ. It is always us. It's never Christ who breaks the bonds of this truly wonderful relationship that we are invited to have with him. We know those wonderful words from Romans chapter 8. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." We are weak, yet he is strong. And in him we can be made strong too. And in this strength, we can be made faithful and pure. we can be changed by all that a life in Christ offers us. And we can have faith in this relationship because this Lord Jesus walked on this earth in all humanity. He knows the sin in our hearts, but I believe he listens just for the praise on our lips, the truth in which we find it difficult sometimes to hold faithfully to. We are weak, yet it is Scripture, like we've heard this morning, that makes us strong. Even when we distance ourselves from Christ, even when we are faithless towards him, he remains faithful to us because he cannot deny himself. We are reminded that wrangling over words does no good. It harms the unity of the community and weakens the faith of those who are to hear and who are not yet strong. Powerful words to hear as we come together in this week of prayer for Christian unity, to pray for the unity of all God's people. And while we may have our different ways, we do ultimately worship and glorify the same God. God's faithfulness endures all ages. Psalm 98 verses 1 to 4 states that God has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory. The Lord has made his victory known. He has revealed his vindication in the sight of all nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. We should sing and praise God always for his enduring love for us. How amazing it is that God remains so faithful, so victorious, and yet so tender and merciful to us, so intimate in his relationship with us. We have nothing to fear, nothing to be ashamed of. For Christ loves us, and we are his. Claimed on the cross, restored into perfect relationship with God, forgiven and free to live as his chosen children. And so we are called to present ourselves to God as ones approved by him, workers who need not be ashamed, ones who rightly exclaim the word of truth. These are the words that we must all strive to live by, to be faithful workers of God, to speak the word in truth, which is a privilege we have been called to share in. It is our duty and our delight to express this tenet of our faith as often as we possibly can, wherever we possibly can, to share the love that God in Christ has for us all. That cannot be denied, and we must not deny it to those who have not yet had the opportunity to hear it and to respond to it. We know that we must live by this truth, but sometimes we will struggle within ourselves, within our daily lives and within our relationship with God. But we can move forward in faith that Jesus, who descended from David, Jesus, the Son of God, who died and was raised, promises us salvation and resurrection too. The words of our song that we sung earlier reflect my belief that in Christ alone, my hope is found, for he is my light, my strength, my song. I hope it can be your song too, that the Christ who took on flesh, becoming human and yet remaining divine, who gave his life, was crucified and died, yet on that glorious day rose again, so that you and I might live forever. He lives in our hearts, and that it is in his power, and his power alone, that you may come and stand before the throne of God, forgiven, free, and loved. The Lord is faithful to his own. He will not deny those who remain faithful to him. His love keeps and guides us always. This is the promise of God. Praise and glory be to God, now and forever. Amen. Go out from this place into the world to laugh, to dance, and to sing. Go out from this place into the world to listen and to love your God. Go out into the world, remembering Christ will be faithful to you to the end of time. And go with the peace and love of God, who died and rose again, that you may have life eternal. We end by sharing God's blessing with one another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.